The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Welcome to What's Eric Eating? Culture Map's bi-weekly look at all things Houston bars and restaurants. I'm your host, Culture Map editor Eric Sandler. Today on the show, we'll talk about some news in the world of Houston restaurants, as well as our meal at a restaurant you may want to try. To do that, I am joined by my co-host this week. She is an expert on food, wine, and good times. Felice Sloan, welcome back to the show. How are you?
Hey. I'm amazing, Eric. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for doing this. Let us dive right into the news of the week. Topic number one, Pop-Up Bagels, an award-winning bagel bakery from the East Coast, has announced that it will open a Houston location in Town and Country Village. I should say that Pop-Up Bagels is on an ambitious growth track. It was a majority interest was purchased by a venture capital firm. So Houston is one of 100 new locations that they plan to open by 2027. And part of 300 locations that they plan to open nationwide. Felice, I know you're not necessarily the biggest bagel eater in the world, but what are your thoughts on Pop-Up Bagels, and do you think that it's a good fit for Town and Country Village?
Yes, so I love bagels, but I don't, to your point, I don't eat it as much because I'm not going to drive to find good bagels. I'll say that, right? So I would try this because they're going to be West Houston. So I think that's great, Town and Country. I think the location is good. And as we've talked about, a lot of things have, in that Town and Country Memorial City area, has gotten a lot of new tenants that aren't necessarily just chains, which we love. So I think it's a good thing. I'm excited.
Yeah, I won't say that I'm deeply familiar with every restaurant in that kind of Memorial Beltway area, but I know they have a Snooze, and I know that Relish does brunch on the weekends, and the Henry that just opened does brunch on the weekends. Mm-hmm. But in terms of that kind of casual grab and go kind of breakfast model, I don't think that they have as many options. And I know that they've been kind of bereft of a bagel bakery since Bagel Bob moved from his original location on Derry Ashford.
That's correct.
To his new location on North Post Oak. So Memorial was sort of denied a locally owned bagel shop. And I know there's a place all the way out in Katy. That's not really convenient. You've got your inner loop options or the bagel shop in Meyerland on Hillcroft, but nothing quite local. And the bagel is kind of a craving, right? As to your point, right? I am the only person in all of Houston nutty enough to drive 20, 30 minutes for a bagel. So for most people, it's got to be, 5, 10 minutes from the house or it's not happening.
Correct. So that's my point. So I think for them, for all the reasons that you just named, right, there's literally nothing right there in that area. So I think they're going to do well, right? And for me, that's a drive. However, it's not a drive considering I'm already going over that way for other things. So I'm let me grab a bagel. You see what I'm saying?
No,
makes sense.
completely. But here's the thing, and this is what I wanted to bring up, is you can't just grab a single bagel. That's not, this model is a little bit different. The fewest bagels you can buy at any one time is three, and then it comes with a spread, which is either, a schmear, cream cheese or butter. They have different flavors of cream cheeses, different kinds of butter that they sell with it. And so, as I said, they've been opening up these franchise locations all over the country, one of which is in Jacksonville, Florida. And I don't think the audience knows, but you do, that my sister Debbie lives in Jacksonville. So I dispatched her
Course you did.
to the Jacksonville location. Well, I said, don't drive across town.
Right.
And she said, actually, it's not that far from me. And her family likes bagels, of course. So
Sure.
she did. There's a little bit of like the, for a family, this, you have to buy them in 3, 6, or 12 is not a problem, right? Because she just,
Right.
she bought six and a schmear for the family, no problem. The thing is, they are not an inexpensive proposition, right? A dozen pop-up bagels in Jacksonville were $44. And so I don't typically buy bagels by the dozen. So it didn't occur to me like what they cost. But I looked up Starship Bagel in Dallas, which is a James Beard nominee. It's gotten all these awards, won all these competitions. They are $27 a dozen. And so to be, more than a basically a 50% premium on top of what is maybe the best bagel in Texas, I think there's a certain amount of sticker shock that's going to be involved in this. But she did say that they were very good. And I have heard from other people who have tried, since publishing this article, I heard from several people who went, oh my goodness, I had this in New York, I had this in Connecticut, I had this wherever. And they are really outstanding with a almost baguette-like crispiness to them that I am very intrigued by.
I'm
But
intrigued.
I
I'm
do wonder
intrigued.
about $44 a dozen.
I'm intrigued. I'm intrigued. Will I buy three bagels? Will I spend $44? Absolutely not. So you just changed the scenario. I will take my ass down there. If I'm meeting you, if I'm meeting three or four people that want bagels, that's great. I'm not buying three bagels. Because I look at the per cost, right? Break it down. That's expensive. So good luck to them. Good luck to them.
But if it's the best bagel in Houston, would you pay a little more? I think that's the question.
Correct. So, and that's the caveat. If it's the best bagel in Houston, I'm gonna ask you that. They got some stiff competition. So
I think that's right. I think they're in the right neighborhood, right? A more affluent area where people may be a little more comfortable paying $4, almost $4 a bagel. But yeah, I will be very curious to see how this model does in Houston because, you can't get an individual bagel. They don't slice them. They don't toast them. They don't butter them for you, right? Like if you, like what they tell you to do is just, they tell you to rip it and dip it. Like they give you a cup with the schmear in it and they say, just dip that in there. You don't need to spread it.
Okay, this is very arrogant. Like, we have literally, as you're adding to this changes the whole, it changes everything for me because I am, you are a diner that doesn't, you don't like people to walk you through meals, right? That's your
No,
thing,
I don't. It's a
right?
well-known, do not tell me how to eat the food.
Right. That's your thing. Me, I love it. I love it. It adds to the experience. It's a little bougie. Like, I'm cool with that. You telling me to pay you premium money, you're not gonna toast my bagel, you're not gonna slice my bagel. You're like, here you go, girl. You tear it. Absolute. It's a no. It's a no. Don't even call me when you go over there. Good luck to them. Whoever loves bagels, enjoy. I am not going. You just ruined it for me. Like, I'm absolutely not.
Well, I'm sorry about that. I didn't mean to ruin it for you. But I do think it's challenging. I mean, but it's grown. I mean, people are into it. I do wonder about Houstonians who can be a little bit fussy. We want
Like
what we
me.
want, the way that we want it, when we want it. I do wonder a little bit about how we're going to respond to this.
Right. It's a valid conversation. I'm actually glad that it evolved to this. So People will know. I am the people, right? So people like me will, if they rolled up and that happened, they would be irritated. I'm like, okay, what else? What?
Yeah, you're like,
Yeah.
give me an everything bagel toasted with cream cheese, and they're like, oh no, I'm sorry, you have to buy three of them, and we don't slice them or toast them. You would probably just walk out.
Absolutely. No, not probably. Take the probably out and repeat that sentence.
You would just walk out.
Ding, ding, ding. Okay.
All right. All right. Well, let's move on. Let's move. The only other thing I'll say about this is that I emailed them and they have not committed to an opening timeline. So we don't know when this is coming, but we will keep an eye out. You will certainly hear more about this from me because I will suffer for my bagel. I will put up with this minimum thing and I will dip it and I will be fine. But yes, I understand your response because I've heard from other people. All right. Let's move on to topic number two. Brian Doak, the owner of Heights & Co. and Lazy Lane in Garden Oaks, has recruited James Beard award-winning chef Tom Kananen to open the Green Room, which I am describing as a European-inspired fine-ish dining restaurant in the Heights. Basically, what Brian did is he took that interior part of Heights & Co. and he reconfigured it to create space for a 26-seat restaurant. I will say Tom Kananen is not well known here in Houston, probably, unless you were like kind of tied into his tenure working alongside Paul Key at Soy Pinoy at the Post Market. But he is a James Beard Award winner. He won Best Chef Mid-Atlantic in 2019 for his restaurant Bad Saint in Washington, D.C. Obviously, he subsequently moved to Houston. He and his partner are expecting a child. And so he is going to be in Houston at least for the foreseeable future, and he is opening this new restaurant. Felice, I say all that to say to you, what do you think? Like on a scale of 1 to 10, how excited are you to have a meal at the Green Room?
Now we're speaking my now we're going down my road. I'm about an eight. I'm at an eight. I'm at an eight. I like new talent, right? I like to see, what people are bringing in, because Houston, the way I look at it, because Houston is a very hard market, right? But he's just one of James Beard. Chefs are a little, I'm the shit kind of thing. So love that. So I think that he's gonna bring, that funk and put his stank on it, right? So I'm waiting to see it. I'm ready to see that, and I like that space. I like that space. So I want to see how they transform it and all that. So I'm excited. I am excited.
No, I am too. I'll even go to a 9 from your 8 because I've had Tom's food at Soy Pinoy and I never like he consulted with the Nash for a hot second. He was at Nano's for a minute. But I think of him primarily as a Filipino chef who makes Filipino food. And he's like, yeah, but I'm French trained and I worked at all these restaurants in New York and DC prior to opening Bad Saint. So it's like he knows how to do all this stuff. And I've been impressed with Brian Doak's concepts. He opened Savor. He did that. He briefly had that Italian thing in kind of next to River Oaks District on Mid Lane. I mean, like he's opened some pretty good restaurants. And so I'm very curious to try Tom's take on, like a European menu. And I'm curious to see what Brian has done with this space that basically came out of dividing up the Heights and Co. interior and finding enough of room for a 26 seat, elegant looking restaurant. So I think there's a lot to like about this.
Yeah, I'm excited. I can't wait.
And I will say I have booked Brian and Tom for a podcast in March. So we'll hear much more about this from them
Oh, that'll be fun. Yeah, to
in
hear what
about a
they have
month.
to say about it. Yeah, I would love to. That's going to be good. I'm
All right.
excited for the concept.
All right. And then topic number three. Lolo's Chicken and Waffles from Arizona has opened in Houston. This is a black-owned restaurant with a pretty big reputation for a Vegas location. Felice, as I like to say here from time to time, you are a black person, but you do not speak for all black people. But just give me your perspective on this because I feel like culturally, I have not been in the know about Lolo's, but then I saw all these testimonies from people like Bun B, who were raving about it. So, how excited? What do you think about all this?
I'm very excited. I'm very excited to have a Lolo's. I've heard all about it. I've never had it. And so I'm like, yes. Love chicken and waffles. I've always thought that we could, have a good, just with the culture here, all the way around. People love chicken and waffles. So many people, to the point people put it on their menu because it's so popular and they do it wrong. But I'm like, see, you're putting it on there because it's a trend, right? You're putting it on there because it's a trend, chicken and waffles. You're not doing it right. So I'm very excited. I definitely will support it because it's a new restaurant, it's Black owned, all the things. I think they will do well from all angles. If they're consistent, they understand. The problem I have when people come in, they're like, oh, this is what we're doing in Vegas, and this, you gotta do your thing and understand the Houston culture though, right? Like too. So I hope that they do that and the consistency. I'm rooting for them.
Right. No, I think that's all well said. I mean, this is a local franchisee. I don't have their names readily available, but these are local people who obviously experienced this restaurant either in Arizona or Vegas and were like, this will work in Houston. We'll pay the fee and, build out the restaurant and do all that and do all the things. And obviously the chicken and waffle concept has been very successful for Taste Bar and Kitchen, now with two locations and a huge following. And we see this other places. I mean, Wings and Waffle has been like a pretty good staple for the Breakfast Club, along with everything else that they do. And they're also doing some kind of soul foodie stuff, for dinner. Anyway, I'm excited to try that, right? Like, given kind of the other people who are saying good things about this, I definitely want to try this. Also, it's located kind of on the border of. It's kind of on the border of Edo, East End, Third Ward, like right there on the Gulf Freeway, not far from the UH campus. So I think the move for us is going to be taping our next Houston Matters segment on the campus of the University of Houston for Houston Public Media, and then having lunch at Lolo's. I think that's going to be
It's a day, you know what? Hey, it's I think that's the move. It's
it.
the move.
All right. Lisa, I'm going to say that does it for the news of the week. We'll be right back with our restaurant of the week. Stick around. Police, for our restaurant of the week, I want to talk to you about Weights and Measures. This is a Midtown institution. It's been around since 2014, if memory serves me correctly. It has recently changed hands. The owners of Mistrantos turned over the operating partnership to Chef Omar Perrinet, who we know for a whole bunch of things, going all the way back to his time at Pesca Seafood, more recently Love Croissants, which he has grown into quite a powerhouse, both with its location at Weights and Measures and all of the places that you, all of the coffee shops and other places you can get Love Croissants around town. Omar is preparing to open a French restaurant in Market Square in the former Nico Nico space, but now he's kind of turned his attention to Weights and Measures. And I'm just going to turn it over to you. What do you think of our dinner at Weights and Measures?
So when we sat and we were talking about the menu with Omar, and he's like, it's just, we didn't try to reinvent anything. We weren't trying to do anything fancy. We just wanted to do simple food. And I'm like, simple food? I guess the word simple, I was like, well, why are we doing simple food? Like we right? Like, well, what do you mean simple? So then he kind of explained it, and then I tasted the food and I got it, right? When he meant simple, to me translates to that
Classic.
nostalgic classic, right? The things that in everything that we had was that. It was literally like a hug on a plate, right? Like I literally, it was a hug on a plate. Like so many things, like we had the lasagna, and I'm like, well, I never order, really don't order lasagna when I go out, except for I named, Milton's. I get it from Milton's. And, other than that, I go to someone's house, or because it has such nostalgic memories for me. I said, so you're taking a chance. And when I tasted it, I said, okay, y'all got it. You win. It was that. It gave me that memory. Everything was executed very well. And I love weight. We talked about weights and measures. You talked about times you've gone there. I've always gone to weights and measures over the years when it's changed, chefs and things like that. I still continue to go, like a lot of people, for brunch. I didn't really go for dinner that much, but now I'm like, I would go for brunch, lunch, and dinner, because I feel like they're back. I'm like, everything that we had just made me really happy. What about you?
No, I think that's all well said. I remember when Weights and Measures opened, and it was kind of this, it was this all day concept, pastries in the morning, lunch, dinner, late night even. They had a really lively bar scene with some really like terrific bartenders. If you for people who listen to the show regularly, I had Judith Piotrowski, who's now at the Hotel Zaza, but that's where she and I met when she was a bartender, the bar manager at Weights and Measures. And we talked about those early days because it was such a fun and lively environment, and it wasn't, it wasn't really sustainable, or at least it didn't sustain itself. And Weights and Measures has kind of gone through a couple of owners and lost the plot a little bit, right? Still very strong at brunch, but that excitement around the food maybe had faded over the years, or maybe it had lost its way a little bit. And so to go back in there for dinner and to have, again, like nothing fancy, like nothing, I wouldn't say innovative, and that's deliberately, a choice on Omar's part and his business partner Sahira, right? They're just trying to do classic food made well. And so, a tomato risotto with a really nice piece of seared salmon on top, like you said, it's like the food equivalent of a hug, or a chicken parmesan panini. They're playing around with the breads. They're trying to get all that dialed in. A simple ceviche, right? If you know Omar, if you've been following Omar's career since Pesca, the man knows a raw seafood preparation.
He does.
Crispy calamari, gooey mozzarella sticks. I mean, none of this stuff is fancy, but it's all really tasty. And the prices are very reasonable, apps in the teens. Entrees in the 20s and 30s. I mean, this is, a very affordable wine list, with a lot of, I was drinking a $10 or $12 glass of Nebbiolo. I mean, that just doesn't really exist very many places in Houston anymore.
Does
And
not. It does not.
so, when you factor in just how familiar food executed well, reasonably priced, affordable wine list, nice environment. There's a lot to like about this place, and it reminds me of those old days when it was kind of, just ingredient driven, seasonal, food focused. That a restaurant that I really loved for a few years before I kind of spun off and got enticed by other places. But, as someone who lives in the area, I will say it's good to have this place back. And what I'll say to you Montrose types is, you're sad that Polly's closed. I am too. But try Weights and Measures because it's going to kind of scratch, I think, similar itches.
Yeah, and like I said, it has that neighborhood vibe, but not neighborhood-y, right? Like, people, you're not in the neighborhood, you would go and be like, it's a great night out. You can have a business dinner there. You could have a date night there. Like, it's good for conversations, the vibe, like everything. Like, if you know Weights and Measures, you know. If you've never been to Weights and Measures for dinner, or have never add it to your list, I think it'll be something you'd add to your rotation.
Right. I think that's the message. If you've only been to Weights and Measures for brunch, now is the time to consider it for dinner because by the way, they have some of the brunch dishes on the dinner menu. So in the absolute worst case, you just get your French toast and fried chicken dish or your Benedict and you're good. But if you like that stuff, I think you'll really like what's going on at dinner too.
Yeah, I think so too. Yep.
All right. Anything else about weights and measures?
No, I just, I'm excited for them. I'm glad that they're back. I'm happy to have them back. So, yeah. Back. Not that they ever went, like Drake said, where'd I leave it at? No, they never that they're back full force with brunch and breakfast and dinner. The whole how they started. Yeah.
Absolutely. All right. Then I'm going to say that does it for the restaurant of the week. Felice Sloan, thank you very much.
Thanks, Eric.
That's it for today's show. Thank you so much for listening. Join me on Thursday when my guest will be Chico Ramirez from Johnny Ritas.